This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
I recently had the privilege of meeting Dr. Fawzia Siddiqui. She's a dedicated sister of Dr. Afia, who remains unjustly imprisoned. In our conversation, we delve deeply into the heartbreaking story of her sister Dr. Afia's kidnapping and the painful injustice she's endured. Her story is one that weighs heavily on the hearts of Muslims worldwide, and it resonates with anyone who stands for justice and compassion. Through this interview, we aim to shed light on her struggle and to inspire a global audience to join in the fight for her freedom. Assalamu alaikum and welcome back to my channel. Today I am very honoured to bring you a talk with Dr. Fawzia Siddiqui from Karachi in Pakistan. So watch to the end and learn about the most maligned and tortured woman of the Ummah, arguably today, Dr. Afia Siddiqui. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. How are you, sister?
Alhamdulillah, I'm fine. And how are you?
Alhamdulillah.
You know, we met 10 years ago.
Oh, yes, I remember.
Do you? I remember we met in a doorway. Mm-hmm. Was it in Karachi? Was it in Lahore or Islamabad?
I think it was Islamabad.
Yeah. And you immediately approached me and said, please do something about my sister. Do you know about my sister? Because I think the story of your family is one of the crushing war on terror, of lies, but also of a family's love. Tell us about your sister. Tell us where she is now.
Right. Well, she's my younger sister. She's my baby sister. So, and she's the only sister I have. She was kidnapped. She had a passion of education. She did her PhD from Brandeis University. She had a full scholarship at MIT for her bachelor's and then a master's and PhD from Brandeis on learning through imitation and separating the components of imitation. And her passion with that was how she could improve the learning in children and how they could learn. She felt that now that we are the third world instead of the first is because of the lack of the education system. And so that was her theory, and her passion was to improve the education system of the Islamic world. So what she believed was that Islam is not a subject to be taught. It's a way of life. It's incorporated into every subject. But there was another interesting thing about her thesis, which I didn't know, and I don't even know if Afia knew about it. And that was that her PhD was on separating the components of imitation. 20 years ago, we didn't know what this meant. But back then, when Afia was doing her research, it seems that the robotics department caught on to it because they funded her PhD, not the neuroscience or the cognitive education department. And it was interesting in why they would, but now we know why they would, because then we thought they're just nice people. And but the thing is that today, what is the basis of everything we do, AI? It's through imitation. And without separating those components, we could not build on AI. Subhanallah. So there are lots of things that Afia was first in. And I mean, the thing is, she was offered everything in the U.S., but she said no, she's going to go back to Pakistan. The U.S. admired her. Noam Chomsky said she is an institution in herself. She'll bring change wherever she goes. But the Muslims, they didn't even realize what an asset Afia was. Instead, they just kidnapped her, sold her for a few dollars. Her little children. Little babies, baby Suleiman, 6 months old, in her lap, and just snatched. I mean, they snatched away her older two children, six years, Ahmed, and 3.5 years, Maryam. But obviously, the mother won't let go of her baby. And, you know, she was just clinging on, and they just snatched her. And the last memory that she has, or the kids have, is seeing the baby on the ground in a pool of blood. Yet, we don't know if he's alive or dead. I mean, just ask anyone, any mother, would knowing that your baby is dead be better than not knowing and just waiting every day? You know, with death there is closure, but not knowing is just torture. But that's what happened. She got kidnapped, and then, you know, she went through a whole conspiracy when they found out that poor Afia really didn't know anything about the things they thought she knew. Like, she went to MIT, so they thought she must know physics, and she's a nuclear physicist or that. They found out, oh, it was just education that she did.
Can we go back slightly? Because Dr. Afia was with her children on a train going between cities in Pakistan. And just in brief, she is really one of the victims of the war, so-called war on terror, not protected by her own country, not protected by the Ummah, and then actually sold for money by people with no care for humanity.
Yes, that kind of sums it up. Mm. It's a very sad and horrific story.
How do you live with it?
You know, there's a couplet in Urdu. Mujhe rehzanon se nahi gila, mujhe teri rehbari ka sawal hai. That, you know, I really can't complain to the zalimeen, to the rehzan, those who are doing this. My whole thing is at the rehbari of the ummah. Where is the ummah when they're... sister is calling from the dungeons of America. When she called out in court that when she was strip searched and stripped naked, and then the Quran was torn and pages were thrown in front of her, and she was asked to walk over it, only then she would get her clothes. And she came in court. When she refused, they beat her up and she lost her first front teeth. And she came bleeding in court and she said, where are the Muslims? Is there any Muslim left in the world that they can stop this from happening? And this was reported on Channel 5 News. And you know, she actually said that this was revealed in the heart of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they want me to walk over it. How can I do that? And they beat me. Is there anyone who can stop this? I mean, she's under horrific conditions. But that's the thing that's painful. It's, you know, it's your own that hurt.
I've heard things when I speak about dear sister Afia to brothers and sisters who go silent and there's no smoke without fire. It's like American propaganda managed to cloud our rational thinking as it clouded their many crimes, which are now being revealed in bloody technicolor for the world to see in Gaza. There is a link, isn't there, between Afia and Gaza?
I really feel that there is a big link between Afia and Gaza. From the time of our Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we know that when a Muslim woman's chador, her hijab, was pulled by a Jewish person just out of malice, how upset our Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. And then we know from then on, Mu'tasim Billah, Tariq bin Ziyad, Muhammad bin Qasim, they conquered places just for the sanctity of a single woman. So here, this modern day Afia called out to the Ummah, but the Ummah did not respond. And then the enemies of the Ummah realized that there is no soul left. There are all these rituals, but there's no soul, because the soul is with the women. The honor and dignity of the women. That's what I feel. I strongly believe that. It's not because Afia is my sister. I just think everything happens for a purpose. أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَبَثًا? You think we've just been formed for nothing? Everything has a purpose. And I believe that was Afia's purpose, to wake you all up. But unfortunately, much as I tried, the Ummah did not come through.
One of the things that moved me when we met all those years ago was from a phone call that you managed to place. You know, the cruelty of the American administration knows no bars. It is, they accuse us of being medieval. They are medieval in their torture, medieval in their cruelty. And I just want to say right now, I'm so, so sorry your mother passed before seeing her beloved daughter. May they be united in the highest of Jannah.
I mean.
But you told me that your mother managed to place a call to her daughter after over a decade in incarceration.
Yes.
And what did your sister tell her that we should all have in our hearts?
I mean, it was a dream that she mentioned. She did say to my mom, and now my mom's passed away, so I feel a little uncomfortable, you know. But the gist of it, because it does include our Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the gist of it was that she saw our Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the dream, and he was there, and she asked him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that when will my test end, ya Rasulallah? And he looked at her and smiled and said, it's not your test. And then she said that, I said, then why am I locked up in here? And then she started crying, and she said that there wasn't a response for a bit, and when I looked up, there were tears coming down his cheeks, and he said, it's the Ummah's test.
We're literally making him cry.
And then she started crying, and she said, I wish I had never asked that. And then my mom was consoling her, and that was the last phone call that my mom ever got from her.
SubhanAllah. We're failing as Muslims, and we're believing the propaganda that's told about us, and yet there is incredible courage from yourself and determination. Is it the backbone of the Quran that keeps you going?
Yes, exactly. I mean, this was my mom's, you can say, this is what she would want on her epitaph if she was the Quran. She said, hold on to the Quran, and that is your salvation. Whenever you feel down, just pick up the Quran, and it will guide you. It will always, and it always has, and it always does. And there's no doubt about that. And I think today, Afia is calling all of you. And don't expect our political leaders to be that. It could be any one of us. And we just need to write letters and keep writing them and keep asking until the door opens. We have to keep knocking. Someone will hear us.
It's been under Biden. It's been under a variety of the last 4-5 American presidents have sat there. Obama sat there with this injustice.
Yes.
You know, knowing what was going on at some point, you know, Carswell is a major, you know, incarceration center in the States. It will have crossed their desk. No. You know, we have to make more noise.
Yes,
what is your message to Kamala Harris, who's done nothing either for justice?
For all these years, we were having a problem. The people of Pakistan, millions came to the streets. So the politicians, obviously, I mean, if they see a crowd of millions on a cause, they're going to take up the cause. But they would take it up and, you know, make all these emotional speeches. Yet when they get into power, they get the votes, and they get into power, they just don't do anything and put it in the back burner and go ahead with that. So all this time, what we've needed was a letter, an official demand letter from the top executive to the top executive to the president at a time that they're leaving, when it's easy for them to do, and it's a tradition that they pardon a lot of prisoners. It is a big achievement, and I'm hoping that this one letter is going to change also the direction of Pakistan and its the dignity of Pakistan. And now it's time to bring them back, because he did finally sign and write and sign the letter asking for Afia's release and supporting our clemency petition. And this was just 2 days ago.
Allahu Akbar.
So,
I didn't know.
Oh, Sister Ray. No, this is amazing. This is the news. So we have the letter from our top executive. We need your help. We need help from the Muslim Ummah. We're not asking you to go into the merits or demerits of the case. Whereas, you know, Sister Lorraine, when you said that there's no smoke without fire, do you know that 99.5% of all the people in Guantanamo Bay were 100% innocent? Completely innocent? So what do you think Afia is? All the Muslims that were captured post 9/11, out of those 99.5, they could find nothing on them. And they're still locked up. Majority of them are still locked up just because they're Muslims and they have nowhere to go.
So let us make a move on this. We have the letter, by the grace of Allah.
I really didn't know this. I will share that letter, yes.
MashaAllah. So the message, the call out then?
What they can do is write letters, do a protest, just a peaceful picket outside the U.S. Embassy in Istanbul, and hand over signed letters, hundreds and thousands of them, to President Biden, that please, we support this clemency petition.
Could this be in Biden's gift then, or is it too late now for that to be, because the election?
No, it's after the election that they'll do it.
After the election, so it'll be December, January, so there's time.
Yes, yes.
If Allah wills.
Just before Biden leaves, so we're aiming for before Christmas, and if Biden could do this as a Christmas gift, and look at Afia, not in the political way, as a human being. Don't judge by the color of the skin or a hijab on the head. All human beings are born equal.
Thank you so much. As always, it's wonderful to see you. The appeals are going to be below. Take action, make a sound within your community. This is a new moment in a 20-year case of injustice that has shamed the Ummah and made our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam cry tears of anguish. And that alone should be our impetus, inshallah, as well as love for our dear Afia, inshallah. Imagine, and I want us all just to have 1 second here, see her arriving home in Pakistan. See her hugged by her children. Feel the ease on the heart of one release of the Ummah, and inshallah the barakah that will come from that, inshallah ta'ala. Thank you so much.
Together, we can amplify the call for justice and stand in solidarity with those who face oppression. Thanks for watching till the end. To support content like this, please like, comment and share widely. For more information on how you can get involved in the efforts to secure Dr. Afia's freedom, please check the resources in the description. Jazakumullah khairan and assalamu alaikum.